on the screen, you're going to have Hebrews 4:12. We're going to read the word together today. You know what the word says? It's sharper than a two-edged sword. So, we're going to get some stuff cut off of us today. It's going to hurt. Isn't that good? See, it's painful to get it cut off, but man, the rest of your day is much better when you're not carrying around all that stuff. See, God doesn't want us carrying around junk, sin, pride, get all that stuff out of our life. We can even get our plans out of the way. See, when we get our plans cut out of the way, God can perform His plan on us. His plan. So let's read this together in Hebrews 4:12. It's on the screen. Everyone together. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Woo! I guess we're in for a treat today, huh? God's going to separate us, slice us up. But that's a good thing, amen? Amen. You may be seated. Well, we need the God's word to penetrate us this morning to remind us that we are kings. We are kings. We're not some wimpy people. They get tossed to and fro by any wind, by any direction, by any type of false teaching, by any book that's out there. We are kings. And when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our life, to be Lord of it, we have to say, whatever you want me to do. That's what a king does. A king represents a kingdom. What God's word does is when we allow it to cut the junk off, sin starts to fall off that we've become so addicted to. What happens is the things that could easily hold us back, as Paul said, that can hold us down beside us, when we start cutting that stuff off, we can do whatever God wants us to do. When we start separating ourselves and, well, I have to do this, this is how I was raised, this is how I was trained, this is how I do, I have to do this, I have to work this amount, all of a sudden that stuff cuts off, we can do anything that God has called us to do. See, God has set us up, you and I, to be kings in this earth. This is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven's up here, but He has called us right now to be kings here on this earth. You and I need to be striving, not for success as the world sees success, but striving to be in positions of authority. No one likes that. We need to be striving. We should have an effect on the seven pillars of society. See, the enemy wants the entertainment. He wants government. He wants education. He wants sports. He wants all of that. You and I, kings, we should be over that. Really? Yeah. Even your response, we are kings. Yes, we should be over those things. We should be training. Well, should I not be an employee? Yes, you're an employee, an employer. It doesn't matter what you are. God has called you to be a king wherever He's called you to be at. If He's called you to be an employee, be the best employee, because you don't work for Him or anybody else, you work for God. You don't work for that business, you work for God. Wherever He's called you, when you run your business, you run that business with character, integrity, and I'm telling you, God will bless that business. But you and I got to stop thinking so small and thinking the church is Sunday for an hour and a half. The church is everywhere. The church needs to expand. It needs to go out. It needs to be. I mean, you need to be business owners. Bob Perry, you need to have more businesses. Why? Because you're a godly man, and your wife, she's a godly woman. You need to be affecting every single employee that comes into those coffee places. I think Christians should own coffee places. Busy Bee Coffee. I think Big Bee Coffee should be owned and run by Bob Perry. Gavin, with that a new addition to your home, you are the priest and you're that king of that home. You need to be expanding your kingdom. He's expanding, and he took it literally. He's expanding his kingdom. College kids, you need to be expanding your sphere of influence at college. If you're in sports, if you're in education, whatever it is, you need to be expanding that because God has called you to expand it, to be a king wherever He's called you to be at. Whether it be a pastor, whether it be Chris O'Connor with engineering, whether it be called you to be Stan Arnold, whatever that be, Dean Betcher, it doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter if you're female, male, doesn't matter if you're disabled, doesn't matter. God has called you to be a king where He's called you to be. So we need wisdom on how to do that. Well, I'm a king. Well, the king has responsibilities. He doesn't just say, I'm a king, everyone serve me. As a king in the kingdom of God, I serve him. How do I do that? It's with wisdom. See, in order to have wisdom, you need information. I need information from here. Not information from somewhere else. I need information from here. A lot of people like to read books. But you know what? As Christians, we need to stop. We need to put down our books and start reading this book. There's a lot of books about the book. And I'm telling you right now, if you went to a Christian bookstore, and I'm not downplaying, I'm not slamming, I'm just telling you, if there was a mass uprising against the Christians in this country right now, and there was a mass book burning, half of the Christian bookstores' books would still be there. Because they're no longer about God's word. They're self-help books that have nothing to do with God's word. You need to be careful what you're reading. It's God's word that's going to set you straight, not what man thinks. It's what God says, and what God thinks is what matters. See, Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I need to be on God's word, not man's word. I need to be on God's word. So there is something that rises up. Faith rises up when you understand, man, God's word. God's, what do you have to say for me as a king? And this is what John had to say. It's going to be on the screen through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is for you and I, for kings. In John, Revelations chapter 1, verse 5. This is what John had to say. And from Jesus Christ, who is faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Who is the prince of the kings of the earth? Jesus. Unto him that loved us and washed from sins. And he has made us kings. Who's us? You and I. He has made us kings and priests. You and I are kings and priests of this earth. So to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Jesus is saying this reminding of, once you accept Jesus Christ and Lord, you're saved, there is a kingdom that comes inside of you. And you need to understand what God's word says and how to navigate that in order for that to come out. When they see you, when they see Matt South, when they see Kelly Williams, when they see every single person on this room, when they see you, they should see the person of Jesus Christ in you. That's the kingdom when it comes into you. So you and I, the church, we need to start acting like kings with righteousness, with holiness, with fear, with reverence unto God in everything that we do. We need to take out his word and say, God, what would you have me do today? How do I conduct my business? It's not about everybody going to be a pastor. Can you imagine that? It's just we're all pastors. No, he's called us all to be kings where he's called us to work at. So the King of Kings has come to show us how to act, how to get wisdom, and to be wise, not in the wise of the ways of this world, but wise in the kingdom of God. See, man promotes on talent. God promotes on righteousness. Man promotes on talent. God promotes on righteousness. You're righteous before him. You keep saying, I'm going to have more education, more of this, more of this. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying without God, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Ecclesiastes 8:4, it's not on the screen. But the wisest man, the Bible said, whoever lives is Solomon. He said, where the word of a king is, there is power. When I know God's word, this is the word of a king right here. When I know this, there's power in my life when I fully grasp and I understand God's word. And Solomon also showed us in God's word what it looks like to be wise. Remember, you can't be a king if you're not wise. There's some big decisions to be made. God's way or yours way, and the wise thing is his. So Proverbs 13:20 tells us, it's on the screen, little key into being wise. Keep company with wise and you will become what? If you make friends with, you'll be ruined. I want you to look at your neighbor right now. No, seriously, look at the next person next to you. Say, I'm really smart. But I need wisdom. Okay, there you go. See, now there you go. So we're all are smart. We just claim something. It's one thing to be smart. It's another thing to be wise. See, stupid or unwise people, you and I need to cut those people out of our life. It's the same thing as a book that doesn't line up with God's word. A friend who doesn't line up with God's word is stupid. Because you're a king and you're listening to something that is not of this world. You guys understand what I'm saying? Proverbs 4:7. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom, skillful and godly wisdom. It's not wisdom of this world, it's godly wisdom. For skillful and godly wisdom is the principal thing. You guys know that when you speak in the Greek and Hebrew, thing all throughout Old and New Testament. Thing means God's word. Promises in God's word. So wisdom is the principal thing. So if you want skillful and to be godly wisdom, you have to know God's word. You have to know it. And with all you've gotten, get understanding, discernment, comprehension, and interpretation. James 1:5, New Testament now. If anyone lacks wisdom, that's probably not for us today, is it? Let him ask of God. Well, that's easy. And that he giveth it to all liberally. Unbraideth not. He doesn't hold anything back. And it shall be given unto him. Church, we need to be kings. Act like it. The king is inside of us right now. And he wants to direct us through the power of the Holy Spirit and guide us. The Holy Spirit can only work through that, what we've read and what we've heard. We have to hear the word. We have to know the word. How do I act? How do I respond? What is the way to best handle the situation? And God give me wisdom on this. He goes, hey, if you just ask me, you know, every question that you have can be answered right in here. Every single question to everything in life. So wisdom for the kingdom of God promotes you. A king is wise. See, the enemy wants you to stay stupid. The enemy wants you to stay away from God's word. The enemy wants to keep you away out of God's house. The enemy wants you to keep away from God's people. The enemy comes and see. Do you know the enemy speaks to us? Anyone know that? Well, not me, Pastor. Sure. Did you do something wrong? See, the enemy speaking to you. See, the enemy, the word says the enemy goes around speaking like a roaring lion. He's like a roaring lion. See, we just saw about the word of God is like, he's a two-edged sword, right? Well, here's the enemy. See, the enemy goes around like a sword, like a lion. Here's the enemy. He's a little itty-bitty knife. Now, can this do some damage? It can still do some hurt. It can get your attention. See, that's what the enemy does. When God tells you to do something as a king, he says, no, Grant, don't get angry right now. This is how I want you to respond. The enemy goes, don't take that. Don't let them talk like that to you. See, the enemy has his way of getting at us, right? God, did you see how they treated me? Did you see what they said to me? Do you see, you understand what's going on at my job? Do you understand what's going to happen? I don't know how you're going to take care of me, so I better handle this. And the enemy goes, there to go. Do what you want to do. See, the enemy, he speaks with a knife. And we look at it and say, that's a knife. See, church, this isn't a knife. That's a knife. Here's what the enemy's saying. This is what God is saying. This trumps this anytime. See, the enemy's got a plan for you, and it's to harm you. It's to cut you. It's to keep you down. And he takes little jabs at you. He is so, so sneaky with this little knife to cut you up. But God says, I'm going to cut him up right here. This is God's word. This is 40 pounds, and this really hurts right now doing this. So God's word is sharp. Don't listen to what the enemy is saying and how to handle something. So today I want to look at wisdom. I want to look at kingship. Your kingship, your walk with Christ is measurable, it's testable, and it's observable. I should be able to say, you know, last year I was at this place, last week I was at this place. I can measure where I am at Christ. Why? Because the word says they'll know you by your fruit. Well, you can't judge me. I will know you by your fruit. I'm not judging whether you're going to heaven or hell. I know you by your fruit, though. See, and testable. Is it testable? When I look at you and how you respond to something, does God say, man, you're passing the test. You're acting like a king. And is it observable? Whether no one's watching or not, can God observe you and say, man, you're acting like a king today? See, wisdom is the act of implementing knowledge correctly. Godly wisdom is the implementation of knowledge correctly. Now, king or kingship is representing and standing upright for your kingdom and doing what is right or righteous. Proving a divine nature change. You got to prove it. Nope, Pastor, faith is all I need is faith. No, faith without works is dead. No, I believe he's my king. Prove it. Prove it. It should be measurable, testable, observable. Well, how do I know that? 2 Peter 1. It's on the screen. 2 Peter chapter 1. All these things are in the YouVersion as well, if you'd like to look at that or study for your notes later on. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, who is a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. I think you and I have obtained like precious faith. Amen? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace now are going to be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Sounds like I have to know about them to get that. And of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things, everything in his word he's given to us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these things shall be added unto you, Matthew 6:33. So he's given us everything that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge. Man, knowledge, what sounds like I have to actually know the word. And he's called us to glory and virtue. Can you imagine going and seeing a king and say, is this right or wrong? King goes, I don't know anything. But king, how would you rule in this? What should I do? I have no idea. We have to have knowledge of what the king wants us to do. Verse 4, whereby we are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's his word. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Our nature is going to change. All things are gone and all things are new. Old things are, all things are new. Well, no, Pastor, this is who I am. No, that's who you were. All things are new. You've had a divine nature change. It's measurable, testable, observable. A king, it needs to look like a king. He walks like a king. He talks like a king because you've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, desiring what you want instead of what God wants. So we're going to turn to Matthew this morning. There's a story of kings. It's not we three kings. You won't find three kings in the Bible anywhere. You find three gifts. Do you all know that? Totally changes the whole story, doesn't it? Sorry, it doesn't. So, but just so you know, we're going to talk about that in a second. As we turn to Matthew 2, I want you to be aware of something in the different translations in the Bible, though. You will have in some of your translations, it will say magi. Some translations, it will say king. Some translations say wise men. Some will say wise men, kings, magi. It's all interchangeable. Everyone okay with that? So it doesn't matter what translation you are. So we'll be reading from the Amplified on this. But it means the same thing as you circle and make your little notes in your Bible. This is verse 1, chapter 2 of Matthew. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, learned men or kings, wise men, learned men or kings. Same thing. From the east came to Jerusalem asking, now interestingly enough, before we go to verse 2, magi traveled, this is culturally, this is back in the day, magi or these kings representing a kingdom, these wise men who were kings from a kingdom traveled in groups of 12. Now that's bigger news than there's not three. Interesting, the beginning of Christ's first appearing, 12 went out, learned kings, went out to go seek him. At age 30, at the beginning of his ministry, 12 disciples were gathered. Now, interesting enough, as you go through sociology, psychology, interpersonal communications, it will tell you the learned person, the studious person, the more advanced person tends to sit back and wait and watch and see. And it's those who are the uneducated, those who don't know, they're more willing to have faith. They're more willing to just to jump in there. Yeah, everyone agree with that? But here we find in the story of Christ, it was the wise, the learned, the ones who are high order and prestige, they're the ones that took off and left. First, 12 of them left. Verse 2, so where is he who's been born of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east at its rising and have come to worship him. Verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, in your translation, the King James, it says, when he heard these things. Why did Herod know this? Because it was already prophesied that this would take place. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 is not on your screen. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says, he has, God has, already told us what is going to happen from the beginning about the end. He has already given us from the very ancient times so that things which are going to be happening or those things have yet to come. These magi, these learned, these studious kings knew God's word. That's why they were following him. So here's Herod. Hey, when the king heard these things happening, he goes, oh, I know something about this. It says he was disturbed and troubled. Why? He wasn't righteous and the king was coming. The enemy trembles at the mere mention of the name of Jesus. And the whole of Jerusalem was with him. Verse 4. So he called together all the chief priests and learned men, scribes of the people, and anxiously asked them where the Christ was to be born. They asked him, where is this supposed to take place? Why? They knew the scripture. They replied, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is what? Written. It's in God's word already. How do you know how to do this? Because it's already written. Church, everything we have questions about, everything we want to find out, it's already written. Anything that's ever going to take place from the beginning of time to the end of time, it's already written. How to respond, how to act to these things. So they replied to him because they knew God's word. See, there's a story of the King Darius back in the Old Testament. And he had Daniel around him. He surrounded himself with people who knew scripture. Can you imagine that right now in this country? Man, I got some questions on how I should handle this. Man, I have a bunch of, call the pastor down the hallway. Call the Bible scholar. Hey, where's Joel Rosenberg? I got some questions about Israel. You know what? Maybe I should actually talk to Benjamin Netanyahu about what we should do in Israel. See, back in the day, learned people knew the scriptures who were high in government. You and I should be in every single place in the seven pillars of society. Verse 6, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you're not in any way least or insignificant among the chief cities of Judah, for you shall come a ruler, leader, who will govern and shepherd my people, Israel. They're quoting scripture from Isaiah 9:6 from 600 years prior. They knew the scriptures. For unto us a child is born, for unto us there's a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. You guys know this passage? This is from Isaiah prophesying 600 years later that Jesus was going to come. So when they saw the light, guess what? All these learned, educated people left everything they knew to say, hey, this is that thing that was prophesied that was going to take place. And his name shall be called Wonderful, shall be Counselor, the Everlasting God, the Prince of Peace, and on the increase of that government shall know no end. Why? Because he has more kings than he's ever had before. King of Kings. Verse 7. Herod sent for the wise men secretly and accurately to the last point to ascertain from them the time of the appearing of the star. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, these kings, saying, go and search for the child carefully and diligently, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may come and worship him. That was a lie. Verse 9, when they had listened to the king, they went their way, and behold, the star which had been seen in the east and its rising went before them. God's word is a lamp unto your feet and it's a light unto your path. It rises up and it shows the light on how you're supposed to handle everything. That is wisdom for those who can rightfully apply the knowledge in God's word. And then it came and stood over the place where the young child was. Uh-oh, now it's a young child. Uh-oh, it started when it was just being born. Now it's a young child. Many scholars believe it's between the ages of 3 and 4 now. 3 and 4. That was a long road trip. When they saw the star in verse 10, they were thrilled with ecstatic joy and then went into the house. We're going to pause right there. So in the end of the journey, they saw this great joy. They saw this great miraculous thing. The reason they left 3 years prior was for this great miraculous thing. So these wise men representing the kingdom left their jobs. They left their security. They left everything they knew. Not knowing when they're going to get back. Not knowing how they're going to pay for everything. And they just took off. These were wise people. They were wise people. Well, no, Pastor, they were magi. I'm sure that this wasn't a 1-900 call wise men type deal. These were people that said, you know what? I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. I just know it was prophesied that there is going to be a Savior and we're going to go after him. I don't know what this looks like, but we're going to follow him. So they left their earthly position to follow Christ. They went on a road trip. How many of you like road trips? Okay, the other half of you probably had kids at some point. I love road trips. I love road trips. I'm talking about car road trips. For road trips, I like to plan anyways. I'm a list. I'm a to-do person. I like everything squared away. So I know in advance when I'm leaving for my road trip, I make sure that I have my stuff. I have my, all you healthy people, it's okay. It's vacation. Okay, here we go. You have your pepperoni pizza flavored combos. Come on. Come on, everybody. Who's pepperoni pizza combo people? Come on. Oh, kindred spirits right here. It's a small group. Then you have your Mountain Dew. It's dew from the mountain. It's organic. It's all pure. It's organic. It's good. It's going to be in heaven. Then jalapeno pepperoni Slim Jims. Kelly loves it when I have that. Smoochy, smoochy. So the kids, then Kelly gets what she wants, right? Kelly loads up. Kelly likes lemon heads, and she likes the sweet and sour stuff, and that's her thing. And Zach and Paige, they get bags of sour patches and all this stuff, right? It's vacation, right? We're going to cut loose and have some fun, right? But wait, you're going to be in the car for 29 hours straight, and you're going to have fun? Well, yeah, because so we need some comfort food along the way to make this a little more fun. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So now before the blessing of everyone has their individual headphones and iPods and iPads and all that stuff. We all used to listen to one single station in the car, right? You try that for 29 hours. As your kids get older, I don't like that, I don't like that, I don't like that. And all of a sudden the headphones pop on. Whew, now no one's talking for 28 hours. So this very thing that you're looking forward to, right? I'm going to go out to California and go to Wally World. Some of you got that? Okay, so we're all going to Wally World, and we take this big trip, and we're going up, and we get so excited about this trip. It's like only 29 hours to Wally World. But along the way, some stuff happens during that road trip, doesn't it? Anyone ever got a flat tire on a road trip? And you pack so much stuff on top of that spare tire. It takes like an hour and a half just to unpack. It's on the side of the road. It's raining. Everyone's sweaty. Everyone's got their nice clothes on. No one wants to get out of the car, so they sit in there. So you're trying to drag up a 10,000-pound car instead of a 5,000-pound. It's just terrible. The trip costs more than you ever wanted it to cost. And stopping for food on a road trip. Ooh. Gas stations are good because there's something for everybody. But when you want to go to... I know, I don't even have to ask Kelly where we're going to go on vacation, like on the road. Taco Bell. Taco Bell. Now, Zach can't always do Taco Bell. Zach needs 70 grams of protein per meal. And there's actually no meat in Taco Bell. So, I'm kidding, I'm sorry. Very little. Okay, so, I love Taco Bell. Not really. But it's okay, it's going to be fine. Then Paige doesn't like to go fast food all the time, so Paige wants a sit-down meal that always costs $120 for us four. So, all of a sudden, the hindrances of a road trip, right, the excitement of going to Wally World or wherever the family wants to go, you get all excited, but then along the way, along this great ecstatic joy that you have, you see this thing at the end, all of a sudden you go, this stinks. Wait, didn't we do this last year, Dad, and we didn't like it last year? Why do we do it this year? Hey, Dad, why don't you set some money aside and let's fly there next time? And that's even worse, and we won't go into that. Okay, so we can have these great ideas of the end, but oftentimes it's the in-between part that stops us from actually getting to the end. And when we get there, it's not fun anymore because this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. Do you think the Magi went through some of that? 12 of them riding donkeys and camels for 3 years. Dude, are you sure we're supposed to follow that star? Are you sure? Because I told our boss that I'd be going on a little vacation. 3 years? See, you and I can't do that, can we? Hey, when are you going to be back? I don't know. Where are you going to go? I have no idea. We're following a star. So you have absolutely no idea. Do you have enough money? I have no idea. Don't know how much this is going to cost. How many of us in our right mind would do that? But it says wise men, learned people, they left everything with no plan, only following a prophecy that and the promise that God would provide and a king was here. You and I get hooked up on the little stuff along the way that prevents us from actually seeing it. And even with Christmas coming around the corner, you know, all the gifts, everyone, oh, man, there's something about receiving gifts, right? But there's something about giving them. I like the budget. I like to see where my money's going. Like, here it is, here's it. But for some reason, when it comes to the three people closest to me, my wife, Zach, and Paige, I never stick within budget. I like to shop. I'm a shopper. I like to go. I mean, and I'll go there and I know I'm already up to my budget. And then I see something else. Like, oh man, Paige would love this. You know what? Zach really likes this. I know Kelly would like this. And if I don't get it, and she'll remind me. And then if I get to, I'm sorry, I shouldn't use her, but I meant it. And then so we go through these things, you know, in this gift giving. See, the Magi, let alone they left and they had no, do we have resources? Do we have money? We're talking about, I don't know. But then they had the presence of mind. The word says they brought gifts with them, not knowing when it was even going to take place. See, when we give to people, when I give to my kids, I give because I love them so much. I break the bank. And the Bible says God gives liberally to us. He pours out. He goes over in abundance. See, we think he's going to hold something back. No, no, no. So if he's not going to hold anything back from us, I'm not going to hold anything back from him. It says in the Old Testament that Abram, when he fought and got Lot back with 318 men. And then when he came back, it says he brought everything to Melchizedek, the first high priest and Lord of Jerusalem. I'm telling you, he brought everything to him. He said he brought everything and it was blessed. And then only 10% was required. Why? Because he brought it all. He said, God, everything I have is yours. And he actually, even later, his son was offered up to him. Everything was offered so God could bless that which was given. So from knowing the word and everything, why did these wise men do that? Why did these 12, why did they do this? Why? In church, it's not about money. It's a condition of the heart. It's not about your time. It's a condition of the heart. It's not about your talent. It's a condition of the heart. What are you offering the king? What did you bring? Here's the great thing about it. He's already placed in you everything that you can offer him. Oh, man, when you get the revelation of this, they took off on this trip not knowing anything, but they brought something with them. You and I, when we start following the king, he's actually asking us to cut everything away and follow him and then offer anything that's on the inside. I offer you everything that I have. It's not about the time, talent, and treasure, church. It's about everything that you have. It's not one or the other. See, to get wisdom, we need to understand. Because Joshua 1:8 says, I meditate on his word day and night. Day and night, I meditate on his word. Why would I think about this day and night? Because it's day and night I have communication with God. I want to make sure I'm always kingship with him. In John 3:2, it says, as your soul prospers, as you become more wise in the knowledge and the word, God says, I'm going to prosper everything else. Why would God prosper you in relationship? Why would he prosper you with finances? Why would he do that if you're not ready for it? See, there's people who come to the altar, and there's people who say, man, pastor, pray for me. I need $1 million. Really? Okay. Why? I just need $1 million. If you can't handle a dollar, why would he give you $1 million? See, it's not about he doesn't care about the money. He cares about your soul. He says, if you could handle $1 million in your soul. Well, pastor, you're saying I don't have money because I can't handle it. No, I'm saying is the very thing that you desire is the very thing that you're probably not ready to handle. Stop desiring the things of this world and desire him. Because if he wanted everyone to be a millionaire, who would be teaching at our schools? Who would be the accountants? Would be our pastors. He called us in positions everywhere, not just to be a bunch of millionaires. So when God asks, can I have your money? People go, my money's kind of precious to me. Well, can I have your time? Don't have a lot of time, God. Very busy schedule. Well, can you love people for me? Only if you put me into a group of lovable people. So can I have a new family? God. Woo. I can guess what someone's getting for Christmas. Okay. God, could you relocate me so I could really be a king? No, he's placed you for such a time as this, exactly where you're at right now. And if he can trust you there, then he can promote you. And not promote you as the world says promote. See, the world says promote is more money, more prestige. And God says, no, I want to be able to trust you in the more difficult areas where I need a witness, where I need a king to go. So this is what the kings brought the wise men. In Matthew 2, verse 11, it's on the screen. This is what they brought him. As they went into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and they worshiped him. Then opening their treasure bags, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They didn't stop at Saks Fifth along the way. They didn't stop at CVS. I totally forgot a card for Jesus. We got to get that for you. A king. What would a king get? Oh, we got to go to Neiman Marcus, man. We got to get something nice. No, they already had it with them. See, the gift of gold that they gave, real quickly, if you, like I said, YouVersion has more detail, but the gift of gold was considered worthy of a king. All throughout scriptures, what you offered a king was gold. That was showing that you bestowed upon him the honor of his position. This means I give you the best of what I got because of who you are. The gift of frankincense was given because frankincense speaks of the worship of God. It says they immediately fell on their knees and began to worship him. Church, when we worship, as Pastor Brooks even said, worship isn't about it. Worship is with everything. It's not for us, it's for him. God, I worship you because you're the King of Kings. And thirdly, the gift of myrrh. Myrrh was highly valued spice or resin always associated with death. Well, what's a weird gift to give a baby? Here, I worship you. I think you're great. And here's some myrrh for death. Do you think they knew something about what was going to happen in the future? Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says they did. See, the gifts that they bring and the gifts that you and I have are measurable, testable, and observable. And you and I should be growing all the time. You and I can't give God what we did last year. We have to give more. Wow, one person. We have to give more than we did last year. Why? Because it's less of me and more of him. So if there's more of him, I have more to offer. It's more. See, the gift that you're going to give is already in you. See, when they sought him, they found him. If you're looking for God, you will find him. If you ask for knowledge, he will give it to you liberally. In wisdom, he'll pour out a blessing upon you. In Matthew 2:12, receiving an answer to their asking, these wise men were divinely instructed and warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. So they departed to their own country by a different way. These kings, these wise men, these learned people understood once they saw the king and worshiped him, they couldn't go back the same. They had to go back a different way. You and I should be different than we were last week. We should be different than we were 10 years ago. When we're following Christ, we should not go back to the same way. Stop speaking the way you always speak. Stop acting this way you have to act. I'm telling you, you should be giving more. You should be giving more of your time, talent, treasure unto God, because that shows him, that proves to him a divine nature change. The kings showed who they thought of as King of Kings by what they gave to him. And they came back a different way. Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. As kings, and Jesus said, I only speak the words the Father speaks. So you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, who have asked Jesus Christ into our heart, before we speak, cut that off and let the word speak through you. Because where the word of a king is, there is power. How do I handle that situation? How do I speak to that person, brother, sister, children, child? It doesn't matter. How do I speak to them? I speak to them with God's word. Because where the word of a king is, there is power against every obstacle. But pastor, it's very difficult. You don't understand my family. You don't understand my situation. You don't understand my job. I have to act like they do in order to prosper. How is it working? See, in Micah 4:8, it's really cool. The verse says, why do you cry out loud? Is there no king in you? See, as Christians, we hear the word and we go, oh, is that how I'm supposed to handle it? Oh, I don't want to do it that way. He says, stop crying, stop it right now. Is there no king in you? Meaning, is there no kingdom in you? I told you how to act. I told you how to respond. And now you're whining every time I try to tell you, instruct you in God's word how to handle this. Stop crying. Is there no king in you? Because where the word of a king is, there is power. Power comes against the whining. Power comes against all the crying. Power comes against fear. Power comes against anxiousness. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. What does that mean? Does that mean I can't have meat anymore? No. It means the kingdom of God is not what you want. You don't get to pick and choose what you want to eat and what you want to drink. What you get to do is do what is right, which brings peace and ultimately ecstatic joy. Just as the wise men came when they saw Jesus, they were filled with joy. God is telling you all things are possible. The enemy's telling you, no, it's not. God is saying, I'm for you, not against me. And the enemy is saying, God's not for you. But God is saying, I'm for you. Who can be against you? Because the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It separates the bone and the marrow. It slices you up, it dices you up, it tells you what exactly it's you're thinking, tells you what you're doing, and it should be measurable, testable, and observable. See, when God's word cuts you open, you can actually see what's going on the inside, can't you? Ooh, full of pride. Ooh, I'm making my own decisions. I'm going against what God. You know, I haven't changed in 5 years. I'm the same person I was 5 years ago. That shouldn't be, church. As kings, more of the king should be in you. You want to stand this morning? Let's stand. I want to be wise. How about you? Okay, the other 90% of you, do you want to be wise? Because you all told me you're smart already. I just need to know if you want to be wise now. There's something about submitting yourself to the king. Something about giving him gold, something expensive. There's something about giving him your worship. Something about bowing down, raising your hands to that. And I'm going to ask you, if you're desiring wisdom this morning, if you desire wisdom this morning, if you want more king in you, I want you to come forward right now. We're going to pray. Come on, wisdom. You need wisdom right now. Come on. It's right now. You're actually following. You're following that star right now. There's a light lighting your path right down to this altar right now. Jesus is right down here with us today. Just keep coming. Keep cupping in tight. Keep coming in. Pack it in tight. Church, I'm excited seeing, there's some people, come on, pack it in, get even closer. I showered, I'm clean. Come on, this is exciting when you see God's people coming forward and say, listen, I humble myself, I want wisdom, God, how do I handle this? It's not my will, but your will be done in my life. As a sign of that submission, just as the wise men came, I want you to raise your hands towards heaven, sign of submission. This is asking that wisdom right now. It can only come from him. It's only come from him. Heavenly Father, right now, you see these group of people, your people, these kings that have come forward to be at your throne, the King of Kings, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We come today, we at your altar right now. Father, whatever that wisdom is needed for, you said that all we have to do is ask for it. And you would give it to us liberally, but we have to act according to your scripture. We have to act according to your word. If you speak to us, we have to do what you tell us to. So people are asking right now, God, I don't know what to do with this job situation. I just don't know what to do. Are you asking me to move? Or are you calling me somewhere? Do not fear right now in Jesus' name. These learned men, these wise men, didn't think about anything about cutting the ties of this world and saying, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Don't be afraid to move. Don't be afraid to pack up your house. That's what the enemy wants you to focus on. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, wisdom for relationships right now. Father, I pray for moms and dads right now, maybe their daughter, maybe their son are in relationships right now that they've been in agreement with. they don't know what to do. Father, I pray for wisdom that surpasses anything that they could even come up with right now. Father, let it be your words and not their words. Let them speak only that the Father speaks coming out of them right now. Father, I pray for an anointing on their tongue right now, in their mind and their heart. Probably for financial wisdom for people. Says, I just don't know. It doesn't seem like I ever get ahead. I just don't know what to do. God knows what to do. Submit yourself under the almighty hand of God this morning. He will give you the wisdom and he'll give it liberally. For whatever else, Father, the needs that came forward for this wisdom. Father, you want us to act this because the enemy wants us to be in the dark. The enemy wants us stupid. The enemy wants us walking around not knowing what to do. The enemy wants us paralyzed with fear. The enemy goes around like a roaring lion. But I'm telling you, church, we are more than overcomers for those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, he is under our feet. The word says he is under our feet. He is under our feet. He is under our feet. I pray for clarity, for decisions right now, for that wisdom right now in Jesus' name. The enemy wants to cloud that. Father, I pray for an anointing on the people around here at this altar right here this morning. You're going to give them wisdom. Father, I pray that your wisdom, and you're going to prosper them in their businesses. You're going to prosper them where you've called them to be in business, at their businesses, employee, employers. Father, let them prosper for not their own glory, but for your glory. So I ask for great wisdom. You have placed us all for such a time as this. Now give us wisdom to do what you called us to do. I pray for healing right now in Jesus' name. People are asking, what do I do? How do I do it? Should I go to a doctor? Not go to a doctor? Seek wisdom. But pray. Come forward with the laying on of hands, with oil. Just do what the word says and he'll continue to give you wisdom. But do what his word says to do that you know what to do. If anyone is hurt, if anyone needs that, come forward and ask for that healing, get laying on of hands. And then however God directs you from there, I'm telling you, church, we need to do it by the book, because the book will set you free. Because the word became flesh and the flesh dwelt among us and told us how to be the word and showed us how to live. Father, I pray for an anointing all over this whole body of believers this morning. Anoint us from the top of our head and every little single nuance from our fingers to our tongue to our mouth, our senses are down to our toes this morning. These kings, as they walk out of here today, as they march out, kings and priests, because that's what you've made us to be. Shoulders back, chest forward. We are more than conquerors. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper. We have your mighty sword as your word to come up against anything the enemy is speaking to us, any doubt, any fear. And let this day, this Sabbath day, this day of rest be found in you, rest in you. Father, may that wisdom can only come from heaven above, just pour into every single person here today. And I pray that anointing as they walk out here today. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Church, before you leave, let this not be a one moment of wisdom for you this morning, of asking God for wisdom. Every single day, God, give me wisdom on how I'm to handle my day. That's what a king would do. A king has advisors around him. Surround yourself with godly people, not stupid, unwise people who don't know the word. You are to pull them up. You are not to ask them what to do. You have people in your life who know the word, who will speak the word into you. Ask them. They pull you up. You pull other people up with you. But I'm telling you, it's time to shake those ideas and thoughts of people who have no idea about the kingdom of God and start getting wisdom from God himself and other people who will speak life into your situation. So go out here today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You get into that word, it's going to pump you up, because where the word of a king is, there is power. Be blessed today, everyone. See you tonight. Have a great day in the Lord.